freedom is the right to tell what they do not want to hear. CNN, MSNBC, Fox News. Tired of the same repetitive government narratives? And wave goodbye to the distractions and rhetoric of corporate media. For this is Anti-Media Radio.
I want to get the language right.
The big government is in trouble.
What we need in the United States is not violence and lawlessness, but is love and wisdom and compassion toward one another.
What's your definition of me?
And now, here's your host, S.M. Gibson.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is S.M. Gibson, and you are listening to Anti-Media Radio, October the 6th, 2015. Joined, as always, with our producer and co-host, Mr. Shannon Madden. Shannon, how are you doing tonight, sir?
Absolutely wonderful.
So are you as sick and tired of the propaganda as I am?
Oh, man.
That's all you hear. Is propaganda. We've had this bombing that happened in Afghanistan on Saturday at the Doctors Without Borders clinic. And you get four different stories coming out from the government in 4 days. Propaganda. You get everything that's going on in Syria. Propaganda. How do we get through to the truth? Because you're not going to get it from government officials. You're not going to get it from corporate outlets because of financial interests. Who do you think owns these corporate media outlets? It's the same people that, as of yesterday, the TPP passed, was agreed to, a deal was agreed to by the 12 nations. And who do you think's in charge of this? We're talking the second highest stockholder in 21st Century Fox, which is Fox News, is from the Saudi royal family, and we're wondering why we don't get any negative stories about Saudi Arabia.
Oh, no, quite the contrary.
And there's plenty.
We'll get to a few of them tonight.
We will. You know, I'm just sick of it. I really am. Like, I can't deal with being lied to anymore. I know I'm tired of it. I'm sure you out there are tired of it as well. And that's what we're here to do. We're here to cut past all the garbage, all the rhetoric, all the talking points, and we're here to present facts, whether they're good or whether they're bad. But that's what people need. And, you know, sometimes, you know, the truth doesn't line up with a certain agenda. We're not here to promote an agenda. We're here to promote the truth. And, you know, whatever that entails or whatever the results of that are, so be it. But people that are not informed, how are they supposed to make any sort of decisions with anything? If you don't have all the facts in front of you, of course you're going to let the government or the media sway you with some, you know, emotional response to say, oh, we should do this, or oh, we should do this, this is good for me. But you don't have all the information in front of you, and that's how it's designed, that's what they want.
Oh, and bear in mind, you have a lot of information to digest. But as to which of that information is partially true, or which part of this lie is the truth, and this part, and then piece this part together, and so on, we're here to cut through all of that tonight.
That's what it is. So, as we like to do at the top of every show, we'd like to run through a few statistics that the corporate media somehow neglects in their 24-hour news cycles. So far, in 2015, 908 Americans have been killed by police officers. 908 Americans have been killed.
Rapidly approaching 1,000.
by police officers. The reverse of that stat is 98 officers have died in the line of duty this year. Included in that stat, though, is 26 have passed away from automobile accident. Five of them have passed away, according to their official stat, from 9/11 related illness. 16 of the 98 heart attacks. 29 were by gunfire in some sort of altercation or incident. But that's 908 against 98. The city of Chicago, we've heard a lot about gun control recently, especially with the shooting that just happened in Oregon. Well, we have a city that's kind of a model for some of the gun laws that they would like to see, and, you know, whether that works or it doesn't work. What we've seen in Chicago so far this year is 2,350 people have been shot, 399 homicides. And America's great friends, great allies, you know, you never hear a bad word about them. Saudi Arabia, they just had 15 of the 19 hijackers on 9/11, at least 134 executions, the majority of which were by beheading so far in 2015. Speaking of Saudi Arabia, there's
let's go. We have a few things to talk about tonight about our allies, our friends.
Oh, yeah, great friends. Of course, you know, we've gone through the gamut of their sins and crimes lately. I don't know if this stat had come out since we spoke last week, Shannon, but did you realize that the Saudi-led coalition in Yemen right now, which is U.S.-backed, of course, we don't say a word, over 500 children have died as a result of Saudi Arabia and Yemen, 500 children, since March. No harm, no foul, nobody says anything. We're still worried about, you know, what's going on in Syria because the United States has an interest in overthrowing Assad. I don't know if you saw the press conference on Friday, because we've talked about on the show at great length how Obama's administration, the powers that be, and really throughout Washington and corporate interests as well, because we all know how closely aligned those are, Syria has always been about getting Assad out of power. And you get somebody like Putin who's finally like, okay, because we keep saying we want to get ISIS. And clearly that's not going anywhere. So Putin's like, all right, we'll take care of it. We'll come in there. And then on Friday, Obama in his press conference starts talking about, well, obviously, Assad's not going to be around much longer. So basically saying what we've talked about is it is about Assad. It is about taking Assad out. I tell you what, before we go on, let's see what's going on the phone lines. Let's jump in and grab a caller here. Let's see.
Did you lose it?
Yeah, it looks like we lost the call, but we'll come back to that later.
You know, going back to Russia and Syria, one of Jimmy Carter's former advisors, actually his national security advisor, Zbigniew Brzezinski, wrote in Financial Times recently urging strategic boldness.
It came out on Sunday, I believe.
With American credibility in the Middle East and the region and their control of the region at stake. Basically, he kind of feels that we need to push back now that Russia has gotten involved
right.
in Syria.
And
bear in mind, Russia is there in Syria under the guise of taking care of ISIS.
And of course, though, you guys,
just like we are, right?
Exactly. But see, the United States is...
they're just helping, right?
The United States is using the tagline that Russia is there taking out the moderate Syrian rebels, which... they are opposed to Assad. And I don't think Putin has made any bones about the fact that, you know, he is going to help protect Bashar al-Assad and make sure he's not overthrown. But you have to remember, too, and this is something Putin said last week, is that we're talking about mercenaries here. And the reason you have the U.S. going over there and training all these people and arming all these people, and then all of a sudden they go to the other side, is because they're mercenaries. They fight for money. They're hired guns. Literally, that's what they are. And when somebody on the other side wants to pay them a little bit more, you know, that's what they're going to do. And people forget that, you know, at one point it was mentioned a little bit that Saudi Arabia was helping fund.
No. Those are our friends, man. We can't say any bad things about that. Oh, we'll get to that here in a minute.
And clearly, you know, Saudi Arabia does not want Assad in power. So it's a really messed up situation. I don't think we're getting the full picture from either side, because I don't think you can look at the situation and go, well, Putin's, you know, some great guy that's not known to spew propaganda himself. Of course he is. But so are we. And everything that we're sitting here saying about him, we've been doing.
Bottom line, we are no better or no worse, and the people that we put into power are no better or no worse than what Vladimir Putin's done for the Russian people.
Well, okay.
Good and bad.
Let's look at something historically here. Russia, the Soviet Union, got bogged down in Afghanistan. It you know, that partially led to their collapse, is getting bogged down in Afghanistan. Guess what? We've been in Afghanistan 5 years longer than Russia was in Afghanistan. That's crazy.
But, and we've really started to make a difference in the region. Their poppy production is way up.
Okay. Well, yeah, it's true. Well, speaking of Afghanistan, I'm gonna go into this, because you hear a lot of reports. Well, aren't we supposed to be out of Afghanistan? Aren't we? You know what? You know what's going on over there? On Saturday, Doctors Without Borders hospital bombed by the United States. 22 dead. 12 people that worked at the facility, 10 patients, 3 children, dead by the hands of the United States government. Meanwhile, Doctors Without Borders won a Nobel Peace Prize in 1999. Barack Obama won a Nobel Peace Prize in 2009.
The irony.
The irony. A Nobel Peace Prize winner was literally responsible for bombing another Nobel Peace Prize winner. Let that sink in for a second. That's crazy. This is the world we live in. And everything is set up as propaganda. It genuinely is. That they tell us, this guy, you know, he's a sinner, he just won, you know, we don't know much about him. Nobel Peace Prize winner. And now, 6 years later, he's bombing another Nobel Peace Prize winner. Wow. Welcome to the oligarchy. The corporatocracy, the oligarchy, that's where we're at. It's about special interests, not national interests.
Oh, absolutely. And I say this so often, that these are the people that we, the United States citizens, have put into power.
Kind of.
Wittingly or unwittingly, yes. I mean, yeah.
Kind of we have, and kind of we haven't. You know, I think there's something to be said for, you know, it's not a popular topic, but there...
Are you saying that our vote doesn't count? Are you dare implying that our system is rigged?
You know, there's definitely been instances of election fraud in this country. You can't deny it. You know, people can sit here and say, well, it's conspiracy this, conspiracy that. It's not. Sorry. Do I personally believe that John Kerry should have been president in 2004? No, I don't. That doesn't mean I think George Bush should have been either. That being said, if you go look back at some of the results and the exit polls, way different. Look at Gore in 2000. He won the popular vote. So, you know, this is a lot bigger than the Electoral College, but that's how they play the game. They play it through the Electoral College. They're never going to rig a state like Alabama, because there's no point, because it's not a state that, that really factors in. You know the state's going to go Republican, no matter who they run. It doesn't matter. It's going to go Republican, and you know there's certain states that are going to go Democrat, no matter who they run. You know, it's the Floridas, it's the Ohios, it's the Pennsylvanias. These are the states that, you know, are thrown up in the air, and you get all these weird reports and numbers coming back. I mean, that's a topic for a whole different time. Let's get back to the Doctors Without Borders. There's just so much going on. Okay, the U.S. changed their story. It's what? Today's Tuesday? This happened on Saturday? They've changed their story four times. Four times since Saturday. They came out initially and said that, well, they didn't really know what happened. You know, we may or may not have hit something. We're not positive. On Sunday, they came out and said we may have hit near it. But we don't think we hit it. It was just kind of accidental. You know, a bomb just kind of made its way over there. And then yesterday, they said the strike was ordered by the Afghanis. And now today, they're saying we ordered it, the United States. And you have to remember, this wasn't like an accident kind of a thing, because they bombed the location for an hour. An hour. The people at the hospital were on the phone. They knew the coordinates. Are saying, you're bombing a hospital right now. They were well aware of what they were doing. It wasn't like, oops, sorry, accident. They knew what they were bombing. They knew what they were doing. We now know through the fourth version of events, it was admitted that the U.S. knew what they were doing from that side of things. And they just kept doing it. They just kept bombing a hospital.
And even then, at the very last statement that they've made, they're still pointing at least a finger or two over at the Afghans. General John Campbell is quoted as saying, even though the Afghans request that support, it still has to go through a rigorous U.S. procedure to enable fires to go on the ground.
Right.
But it's still, the Afghans call for it, though. I mean, we would have never came running if it weren't for the Afghanis. And even that has been called into question.
It's all about the confusion. You know, I don't think these stories, well, clearly these stories aren't put out here by mistake, but I think what it is there's so much of the population, there's so many people that hear maybe the second story, or they hear the third story, and they think, well, that's what I heard, so that's what it is. You know, well, no. Why would they lie to me?
Why look any further? I mean, we've got a general from the United States telling us straight up that, hey, you know, this is how it all went down. Nothing more to see here, everybody.
And it's a war crime, by the way. It's a war crime.
The first statement was rather chilling because the term collateral damage was used. Collateral damage.
22 dead, 12 hospital workers, 10 patients, 3 children. Collateral damage. This is what our foreign policy is doing. How many politicians and American citizens still have not gotten it through their head that we have absolutely no business being over there. Zero. None. None.
Poppy production is through the roof. Through the roof.
But it's disgusting how they're sitting here talking, and it's building. It's building. The Rubio campaign's building. And look, he talks about
that guy.
He's going to keep the war machine going. He's going to make the war machine expand. It's going to get bigger. It's going to make the cogs run a little bit faster. And people are supporting this. They're behind this. You know, I don't always agree with Donald Trump, but I tell you what, he came out and recently made the statement that he thinks the world would be a safer place if Saddam Hussein and Gaddafi were still in charge. That's not saying Gaddafi and Saddam Hussein were these great, wonderful people. They weren't. But you know what? What they were doing was none of our business. And now, because they're out, those regions, they're completely destabilized. And we're just scrambling around, really fighting over the resources. all the insanity that's going over there right now is because of the United States, 100%. I don't care how they spin it. I don't care what they say. The facts are the facts. If Saddam Hussein was still in power, the only thing you would think of when you heard the word ISIS was something on Archer, a spy agency on a cartoon.
Yeah.
That's it. This wouldn't exist if he was still around. Doesn't mean he was a great man.
Sure.
But it's disgusting what they allowed to happen. And then how flagrant they are to lie about it.
Well, and you think about how this whole rabbit hole we climbed down started. I mean, how did Saddam Hussein achieve power over there? With help from anybody, the United States.
Oh, you're talking history now. And
from that tinfoil hat history, yeah.
That's,
yeah.
People can barely deal with what happened 2 weeks ago. They forget it. You talk about something that happened 30 years ago. Whatever. That happened a long time ago. What does that have to do with anything? I think people need to know what happened to know where they are today. We see these cycles repeat over and over and over. And nobody wants to do anything about it. Let's talk a little Saudi news, I guess. If I can stomach it, if you can keep me from overthrowing the table here, flipping it over.
I'd rather you did. I think it might abruptly end our broadcast tonight.
No, you know what? Sometimes you got to break a few eggs. Saudi Arabia is now warning that residents on Twitter and Facebook classified as rumor mongers risk the death penalty. The death penalty.
And we just spoke a moment ago about what the death penalty entails in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
Off with your head.
That's true. They are about to, you know.
And they'll crucify your dead body in the streets for everybody to throw rocks or potatoes. Or
that's it. I mean, we've already got it that they're about to crucify a young 20-year-old man for protesting. We've got another man that was a protester. Lashes, thousands of them. And now, they're just going to run a law through. If you're a rumor monger on Twitter or Facebook, here's why this is significant. This is why Saudi Arabia is such a big deal. This is why this is the crux of everything that's going on in the Middle East and the hypocrisy of the United States, the complete hypocrisy. And until they address it, they are a bunch of scumbag liars and everything they say is fake. Because they're sitting here talking about Syria and Assad regime. They're sitting here talking about ISIS. They're talking about all this crazy stuff that goes on there. They, you know, judge everything that everybody...
And the horrible oppression that those factions thrust upon other people. And then our friends here at Saudi Arabia do what?
They do what they want. Literally, they do what they want. They're going to crucify someone for protesting. Literally. Crucifixion. Hang them. Beheadings, at least 134 so far this year. 500 children in Yemen dead since March. Over 2,000 civilians dead in Yemen since March. No big deal. We don't say a word about it.
No.
So if what we were doing was actually for these human rights purposes that is claimed to be, the first words out of the government's mouth would be Saudi Arabia, and it's not. It's not. The media doesn't say anything about it.
They certainly weren't brought up during 9/11 and that whole lot. That's when we first started really sticking the ant pile even further.
When are people going to realize that we have been hijacked? Oh, whatever. Area code 216. Welcome to Anti-Media Radio. I'm your host, S.M. Gibson. Tell us your name and where you're calling from tonight.
Ohio. How are you?
Can't complain. What would you? What's on your mind tonight?
So I don't know. I just wanted to call. I saw a Facebook post. You guys have a very prosperous Facebook page, by the way. I like it.
Thank you so much, sir. So, have you been keeping up with the situation in the Middle East recently with the whole
Syria?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, all the time.
What do you take away from everything that's going on?
I mean, there's so much stuff going on with the media nowadays. I mean, there's so many stories being tossed around like a volleyball. I mean, you really, it's hard to believe what and what not, you know? And, I mean, I guess it's kind of, it's sad. It really is. They're killing millions and millions of people each week over stupid, ignorant. It's war, you know what I mean? And it's sad. It really is.
You know, and that's the thing, I think you nailed it on the head a little bit. You know, we've got 4 million refugees, it's coming out of Syria. The whole place is in shambles right now.
And we brought up before, not only just counting the refugees, but the civilians that have been displaced within the country. What translates to half of their population between the people that are displaced within their country and the people that have fled the country, over half of the population has now been displaced, is without their home.
Mm-hmm.
Half of the whole entire country's population. That's huge.
That's massive.
Go ahead.
That's all I really had to say about it. It's fascinating. It really is fascinating. We press even further.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing is, I'm only 16 years old, to be honest with you guys. And I'm into a lot of the stuff like politics, world news, whatnot. And all these people, they're basically like saying, get the hell out of the country, you know what I mean? And it's basically what they're doing. And all the U.S., the army, the militarization, all over in the other countries right now, patrolling the streets. I mean, and like you were saying, how many people left? How many refugees again?
Well, over 4 million now.
Yeah, exactly.
Since this conflict first started,
the number is going to keep going by the day.
Yeah, they are. I mean, there's definitely no sign of them shrinking anytime soon, and the great irony of the entire situation is that the United States has been bombing Syria for over a year now. We've been funding the quote-unquote moderate rebels for longer than that. And Putin's been in there bombing for less than a week, and we have the audacity to say, oh, whoa, what, you're going to destabilize the region. What are you doing here? It's like, what do you think we've been doing? Like, the hypocrisy, like, they don't even... Do they hear what they're saying?
And like I just said a moment ago, now we have, you know, someone who is close to Barack Obama's ear, you know, the former national security advisor for
Jimmy Carter, yeah,
has come forth and says that no, now we need to go ahead and stand up and we need to show the Russians we mean business. We need to retaliate. How do we propose we do that? And retaliate for what? For coming in and doing the same job that we're doing, for helping, essentially?
Well, that we're supposedly doing.
That's not really the job that we're in there doing.
Yeah.
And that's really what it boils down to at the end of the day.
That's it.
And you know,
we're not serving the same interest, period.
No, absolutely not. We want to talk about what interest we're really serving. We can go ask Dick Cheney, Rupert Murdoch, Lord Jacob Rothschild, that little bunch there with the Genie Corporation, and ask them why they're so hell-bent and intent on hurrying up and getting there in Syria once we've cleaned it out. I mean, we've cleaned out half the population. Just got the other half to go, and we're almost there.
That's it.
And then Russia comes in and screwing up the whole deal. That's exactly what's going on there. Not the CNN and Fox News rhetoric we hear about now. That's what's truly going on. And in order for that to happen,
with everything going on with Vladimir Putin and Iran and the U.S., like, basically the only people that are actually putting their hands is Russia. And Russia's like, and the U.S. is like Russia's sidekick in a way at this moment.
I think that the two are definitely butting heads right now.
Yeah, it seems like Robin is went ahead and grabbed the steering wheel from Batman, and Batman saying, "Hey, where the hell you're going? I'm steering this thing somewhere."
That's it.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, thank you so much for the call this evening. Absolutely great call. Brought up some good points. But yeah, you know, what are we doing? I think you said it, Shane. I think you said it. It's ultimately about special interests. It's about natural resources, because if it wasn't, we'd be going after Saudi Arabia. There's got no human rights. There's no human rights involved whatsoever. And another story.
But at the same time, though, I want to go ahead and reiterate, we're not calling for anybody to go to war with anybody else.
No.
I mean, but, you know, under the same guidelines that you've listed, the same guidelines that why we're attacking all of these other factions there, Saudi Arabia is so guilty of all of these and quite possibly more. Again, 15 of the 19 hijackers were Saudi nationals. And then we went and, of course,
loaded up our
planes, loaded up our tanks, and we headed to Iraq. Mm-hmm. I mean, what the hell?
The kind of real quick, something else that hasn't been mentioned. The Saudi king, King Salman, who's been the king since the middle of January, he's been hospitalized. He has dementia real bad. The country's basically being run by his 30-year-old son. He's the crown prince, Mohammed. So we don't know how much longer the King Salman is even going to be around.
Well, he's not making policy or enforcing policy. I can't even remember his name.
He can't. He's been deteriorating in health. That's something that has not been reported over here by the corporate media whatsoever. But we have a situation that over there, there's internal conflict between the royal family. There's a great portion of the royal family that supposedly, so the rumor goes, is they want to get rid of Salman and his son, Mohammed, because, I don't know if they're screwing stuff up. That's my perception, is because, especially with the increase of the at least 134 executions just this year, and you got the crucifixion, you've got the protesters, you've got this new law with Twitter and Facebook that could be the death penalty applied to them.
Well, now that's for the serious offenders. You know, the ones that only do it just a time or two, they're only going to get little piddly little punishments. Like,
that's been the way
from social media. You've been banned from social media.
Yeah, I have.
Recently. Nick has too. Travel bans, lashes.
But
you get a spanking.
But I think the other members, where the dissent comes from, is that Saudi Arabia's basically been able to do what they wanted to do for a long time. There's been no scrutiny put upon them. Nobody's looking, calling them out for anything. And now we're seeing Amnesty International, human rights organizations, the crucifixion of the young 20-year-old, that's, a big deal. People are talking about that all around the world. And my perception is
that David Cameron's supposed to be looking into it.
Yeah, so right. Yeah, there was an interview on Channel 4 earlier today about that. If you haven't seen it, it's absolutely...
Forget about that interview. What about that other thing that David Cameron did?
Oink, oink, my good man. But I believe that the dissent is coming from, they're going so far out of bounds with some of the stuff that they're doing that they need to pull it back, because now the world's starting to look at them being like, hey, wait a second, what's going on here?
And that's not, you and I both know that's not going to happen, because they have their ally and friend, the United States, that's there to pretty much cover up whatever misdeed.
But they're starting to overstep their allegiance that they have with the United Kingdom and they have with the United States. Mm-hmm. Because people are like, what are you people doing over there? Like, what's going on? And I think, you know, there's the interest of the royal family. It's like, we got to go back to being under the radar. And we can't be beheading 134 people.
As long as the money keeps rolling in, trust me, there will be a blind eye turn to that. You bet your ass.
It will be.
Bet your ass.
It will be, of course.
There will be some sort of conference or some sort of seminar or some sort of something.
Yeah, we're not going
to. And there'll be a public dressing down of sorts, and it'll be a little puppet show for everybody to see. And then they'll go back to the rooms, and everybody's going to keep doing business as usual, including and especially Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia's no fucks given. Both middle fingers in the air.
Yeah, they don't believe it. They don't, but I think that's where the tension inside the royal family is coming from right now. And I know, look, I know a lot of Americans, they see the Saudi topic and they're like, whatever, we've got so much going on here.
Saudi Arabia, we're
A boring topic. Why are you talking about this? And it's everything to do with what's going on over there.
And it underscores how the American government does business and why the rest of the world has been rather peeved with the United States as of late.
It is. It underlines the hypocrisy of what our government's really, truly about. Area code 608, welcome to Anti-Media Radio. This is your host, S.M. Gibson. Tell us your name and where you're calling from tonight.
My name is Derek. I'm calling from Madison, Wisconsin.
Derek, what's on your mind this evening?
Hey, so actually I'm a first-time listener, and I'm pretty impressed with what you guys are talking about. Not too many people that I know understand the situation that's going on with Saudi Arabia and their relationship with the United States and the war with Yemen. Not a lot of people know that $90.4 billion in United States weaponry has been sold to the Saudi Arabians since 2010 to aid in the attack against Yemen. Not many people know that our military has used their own drones to aid in the attack in Yemen. And interestingly enough, today I saw on CNN one of their articles, they're scolding Toyota because the Islamic State is using Toyota vehicles. Never mind the weaponry that the Islamic State, as well as many other terrorist organizations, are running around with, and supplies. There was a full article. If you go on the CNN website, you should be able to find it pretty easily. But I was just appalled by this.
So everybody's more concerned with the fact that ISIS is running around in Toyota vehicles than they are running around with weapons.
Well, you know what?
Came from the United States.
The joke's on ISIS because Toyotas are damn near indestructible vehicles. And you try to use one of those for roadside bombing, it just ain't going to happen.
Yeah,
good luck. Get you a Ford.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Yeah, I mean, this was coming from the U.S. Treasury Department. Wow. They're the ones who are eyeballing Toyota for
this. I'm glad their priorities are straight. And, you know, you brought up a good point and something people don't talk about much, what's going on in Yemen. You know, recently Saudi Arabia got in trouble for bombing the wedding and like 131 people got killed. But in 2011, yep, we bombed a wedding in Yemen.
Yep. Yep, and nobody talks about that in the mainstream media. You won't hear that in the United States.
You know, nobody wants to acknowledge where we screw up. They only want to talk about these other countries and their horrible records. I mean, can you imagine if it was Iran that bombed a hospital in Afghanistan?
Right.
What would be going on right now?
Right. It would be mass chaos. Or, you know, if that happened over here, if a wedding party over here got bombed by a drone, can you imagine the chaos that would ensue?
Yeah, everything would stop.
It would be crazy.
But
a human rights inquiry was recently proposed for the people of Yemen. How many civilians have died now? I think the number is, I think I read like 2,500 or something like that.
Around there, yeah.
Yeah, and so a human rights inquiry was submitted, and it was immediately struck down by Saudi Arabia. You guess who? The guys who are leading the United Nations Human Rights Council. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And the United States government stays quiet about it. Meanwhile, they're telling us that armed citizens are the problem with the gun culture that we have here. Meanwhile, they're selling $90.4 billion worth of weaponry to one of the most oppressive governments in the world.
That's what we're dealing with. The problem's the guns. We don't have a drone problem. We don't have a Lockheed Martin problem. We have a it's the NRA. Blame the NRA.
Yeah, and I don't fully support the NRA. And I mean, I am a gun owner myself. I don't like where the NRA puts their money, who they fund politically.
The NRA is like an accountant's lobbyist, and we all know what lobbyists are out for money. They could care less about.
Yeah, and also too, I mean, it's turned into a complete mental health issue. So there's this huge stigma against that. Nobody's talking about the media making these people famous for going out and committing these heinous crimes. I'm glad to see some initiatives. Some news sources are choosing not to use his name. Some police departments are choosing, you know, the police department there was choosing not to use his name. I mean, I think that's a great first step to preventing copycat crimes, because we all know they want the glory.
Sure, but the irony to that is they never really get it because, you know,
they never stick around.
Yeah, but then too, I mean, you got these other people out there who are living this illusion that are thinking, oh, you know, look at the fame this guy got. They don't think about, I'm going to be dead after this. They just think about in the moment or what's going to happen. What's their legacy going to be when they're gone from the earth?
Well, that's narcissism at its finest, if you want to get
down
to
it.
And now there is an Inquisition. It was kind of one of the things that we wanted to talk about for half a second. The GOP from Nevada, the GOP Assemblywoman Michelle Fiore, is calling for an investigation of the mass shooter medication history. Which I think is very important. It's something that we've talked about on the show quite a bit. Not what gun that these disturbed individuals were using, but what FDA-approved medication that they were on at the time. And strangely enough, all of them have been pretty medicated. I believe this latest shooter went under a social media handle, Lithium Love, on one of the social media sites that he was attached to.
It was a good Nirvana song.
Yeah.
I don't think that's what he was referencing, though, because it has come out that he was on lithium. I want to bring on now our great friend, contributor, journalist, and the editor-chief and founder of the Fifth Column News, Justin King. Justin, how are you doing tonight, sir?
Pretty good. How are y'all doing?
Oh, can't complain. What's going on in your world this evening?
I'm actually doing the same thing, y'all, where I was working on something to do with Russia and Syria.
So, it's gotten a lot hotter over there since the last time we spoke to you. It just seems like
tense. Yeah, tense.
It has gotten a little bit more tense, and you know, you've got Brzezinski talking about you know, we should retaliate as of members of our Congress, of course.
How do we do that?
Ignore, but,
how do we do that?
Yeah,
that's a good
one. Start bombing Russia.
Yeah, that's going to happen. Not.
We can't.
No, we can't.
The thing is, I actually, and I've got to, you know, kind of throw a little thank you out to Aaron over at Pontiac Tribune, because he actually sent me the article. Military Times, which is, it's like the new Stars and Stripes. It's been around since the 40s under a whole bunch of different names. But they put something out called, you know, Russia or U.S. versus Russia, what a war would look like, blah, 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 blah. And this is what our troops read. And from that, you can get a glimpse of what's coming, because the propaganda is already there. They're attempting to restart this Cold War scenario. They really are. It points to Ukraine. It points to Syria. It points to these locations, and it builds U.S. troops up and says, you know, they just can't match us. You know, they don't have long-range force projection. You know, they can't match us there, which is true. They don't, but all of these things are like 500 miles from their border. They don't actually need it. But the whole article, and that's what I've been working on, is just going through and pointing out all of the propaganda and the spin on it, because it's something that this is what's going to be fed into the mainstream. The troops are getting it first. So will probably start engaging Russia in different ways, not necessarily in Syria, because we don't have a legal leg to stand on there. Like, as far as international law is concerned, we're the aggressor. Under UN Charter, the UN, they should pretty much all declare war on us. So there's not a whole lot that we're going to be able to do in Syria. But
when has that stopped the United States before, though?
Right. But, you know, normally you don't have somebody like Putin on the other end. And I think, you know,
And we're not talking about a bunch of goat herders in the Middle East. We're talking about a nuclear superpower. I don't think nobody's brought that part up. Let's go ahead and start there.
Right.
Yeah, forget about it. A nuclear superpower whose head of state was a real live spy. I mean, he was a Bond villain, basically. And we've never had a head of state that was this well-trained. We've never had a head of state that was this professional and understood geopolitics and war the way that this guy does. A community organizer he's outgunned. I mean,
Well, so they say, I think Herbert Walker Bush, you know, he was in the CIA a lot longer than was admitted. There was the deposition signed by him to J. Edgar Hoover that he was on the ground during the Kennedy assassination, and he wasn't, you know, even in the CIA at that point, so supposedly, but he was. But I would say that would be the only comparable thing that we've seen intelligence-wise.
Right. I mean, yeah. And even that, you know, there's tons of theories about that, but from what we can actually discern, everything with Bush, you know, Bush 1 was more or less a political job. I know the theories involving Kennedy and what he had to do there, and then there was also something as far as what he allegedly did with Bay of Pigs, which I think that's just a complete fabrication.
I don't even necessarily believe, you know, the conspiracies with Bush and the Kennedys. You know, the only thing I know
is
that
he is a Texas boy.
Right. All I know is that he was there, period. Yeah. Other than that, you know, that doesn't mean there's anything grander than that.
He could have just been holding the flag.
There's a little bit to support that. The Bay of Pigs one, not so much. But either way, it's not the same as a guy that spent 20-something years in, I want to say he was in the third directorate, which, I mean, that's like the assassination squad of the KGB. I mean, this guy, when there were riots in Berlin, you know, he's in the embassy burning files. I mean, like, real spy stuff, you know? and he did it for a very long time. And we don't have anybody on our national scene that can walk into a room with him without handlers and meet him as an equal. When it comes to something like that, I mean, we don't have anybody. There's nobody. The only person that has that kind of background that is semi still in politics is North, is Oliver North. And even he, like, first, there's no way he's going to get elected president. And second, even North isn't of this caliber, you know, and North was very good at what he did. You know, you may not like what he did, but he was good at it.
Yeah, to put it in perspective, I don't know if anybody watches the television show Homeland. It's basically like the character Quinn becoming the president of the United States, like a guy that works for, you know, a dark team on the CIA that kills people, like a real deal spy.
Right. Yeah, he wasn't a political appointee. You know, he worked his way up, became a colonel. His service record is the kind of stuff you see in like a James Bond movie as the bad guy. I mean, he's very well qualified. And when it comes to something like this, we're just outgunned. I mean, and, you know, they're saying that it was a huge gamble for Putin to do this.
No, he's not scared.
The guy that gambles, you know. got exactly what he wanted, the way he wanted it. He sat there and just waited until the perfect time.
Yeah, from a military standpoint, I mean, it was more perfect than you could ever imagine, because the United States couldn't do shit. And still can't do shit. Except theorize about what could be or what might be or so on and so forth. It's not.
Now, what do you think about Obama on Friday talking finally, saying that Assad's going to be overthrown, that's coming to an end soon? And, you know, until Russia's involvement, it's really just been about, you know, they of course mention Assad and say this and say that, but, you know, the main focus has been ISIS. We've got to do this with ISIS. And now that somebody's over there saying, well, okay, we're going to get ISIS. And, of course, they're, you know, the moderate rebel argument that Putin's not even worried about ISIS. You know, he's just there to take out the rebels and the people that the CIA's been funding this whole time. What do you think about kind of I won't want to say flip, but it kind of is a flip by Obama. Now, finally, like, okay, Assad's got to go. He's not going to be there much longer. It's like, the only way for that to happen now is for them to engage Russia, because Putin's not going to allow that to happen.
Right. What he said about Putin's motives is probably the most accurate thing the president has ever said. He's there to protect Assad.
Of course.
From his point of view, Free Syrian Army, Islamic State, it doesn't matter. They're all mercenaries. Kill them all. That's the way he looks at it. I found it very interesting that when he went through and named off the groups that he was going to target, and he named off just about everybody, he left off a few groups. And these were organic rebel groups. They weren't mentioned. He didn't mention the YPG. The Kurdish groups. He didn't mention the PKK. And these are groups that aren't. They're getting some U.S. assistance, but it's back channeled through Iraq, and it's not really even the U.S. helping them. The U.S. is helping Iraqi Kurds, and the Iraqi Kurds are helping the Syrian Kurds. But Putin didn't even mention them. They're not a target. And I found that very interesting on a number of levels. I think Putin is smart enough to realize that Kurdistan, as it is right now, you know, they have no country. And if they get a country, whichever major power helps them get that is going to have a lifelong ally. And I think that Putin sees that. And I think that he may be willing to support them in a way that the U.S. hasn't. And if that happens, we can just go ahead and carve it up in the sense of Saudi Arabia South is U.S. territory, and Iran, Syria, Jordan, Kurdistan will be aligned with Russia, much the way it was in Europe during the Cold War. It kind of like a NATO-Warsaw Pact type thing. And we've already seen the Kurds start to warm to Russia, who they've never dealt with before. But now all of a sudden, you know, and that's what I mean. This guy's smart. He knew they were waiting for him to say those names. And when he didn't, they realized he's not after them. So now he's already built this goodwill with them. And we don't have anybody that can compete with this guy. It's that simple. So I do see a lot of developments there, but I think this one is going. I think it's already over. I think it still has to play out, but Russia already won.
It seems that way. I mean, it seems like, you know, they've already got us in check, and they're just waiting on the checkmate.
I can't stand this any longer. I mean, we are America. Who do they think they are?
America.
Wow.
That's what it is. Now, how do you think the whole propaganda game's going to work out with, you know, this whole trying to spin it as, well, you know, Putin's doing this? Like, how do you perceive the American people buying into that? Do you think they even will at this point?
I think you'll see a lot of people buy into it.
simply because there's a lot, you know, if they're our age or older, you know, they grew up and, you know, there was Red Dawn and, you know, Americans hate Russians already, you know?
Right.
It's not going to take much of a push to get them back into that Cold War mindset. So I do think that propaganda will probably take hold. If they push it hard enough, yeah, we'll be back there. I think the end result will be the U.S. kind of gets to keep Ukraine.
And you think it's going to be the swap for Ukraine for Syria?
Yeah. I think that's going to be the end result. And I think the scary part about this is that at that point, basically the entire world's geopolitical system is going to be on a fault line. It's going to be a new Iron Curtain between the northern Arab countries that will be aligned with Russia and the southern ones, which will be with the U.S. And, I mean, that's terrifying because Europe was stable. You know, you never know when, you know, the Middle East is a volatile area. You never know when something's going to, when some old feud is going to pop up and cause a real problem. Now, with the entrance of, you know, Russia and the U.S. at the same time, it could be a flashpoint. It would be as dangerous as, you know, Berlin was during the Cold War. Something could go wrong there, and everything could go downhill very, very quickly.
Now, what do you know about, and have you heard about the rumor and Putin conscripting 150,000 troops, and they're talking about now putting, you know, that amount of troops on the ground in Syria? Do you think that's all being used as, you know, a fear tactic? Do you think that's really something that's a possibility right now?
It's possible. I don't think that it's happened yet. What I do know is Russia did put the Spetsnaz guys in. They're special forces guys. They are on the ground already in Syria. That's fact. As far as 150,000 troops, sending them down there, I don't see that likely. The way the Russian military works is they have probably two-thirds of their military is conscripts, draftees, whatever you want to call it. But they keep them even during peacetime. And then the other third is a professional military, you know, where the people are in, and they plan to make that their career. He's not going to send a bunch of conscripts down. He's been in combat engagements before. He knows they're not the best soldiers. If he does bring in conscripts, it's going to be to replace his frontline troops that he's going to send down there. And I don't see him sending 150,000 of them simply because he needs them along the Ukrainian front.
Mm-hmm.
So is it possible? Yes. Do I think it's happened already? No. And I don't see it playing out the way most of the outlets are kind of pushing, saying that basically he's going to round up 150,000 guys and ship them off to Syria. I don't think that's going to happen. I think what more than likely will, even the more likely scenario, is that Iran will actually supply the foot soldiers, and they'll have Spetsnaz and, you know, some of their professional soldiers backing them up. It would be a lot easier for Iranians to operate in Syria than for Russians. If you do it, yeah, you don't have translator issues. You don't have any of that.
I hate to cut you off, Justin, but we are out of time for the evening. But thank you so much for calling in tonight, sir, and imparting us with some of your wisdom. We'll be back here on Thursday evening, same Anti-Media time. Join Nick tomorrow night. I am SM Gibson for Anti-Media Radio. 10 o'clock Thursday. Out. Peace. Yo.
I'ma let them know, no, through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo, stereo.